Well, thank you for being with us this evening. You having a good week? So appreciate you coming out on Wednesdays. And I want to encourage you, a week from this weekend, that Dan Hammer is going to be with us. We're really excited about our overflow weekend. That'll be Saturday morning at 10 and Sunday morning at 10, a week from this weekend. I'm excited about this coming weekend as well. And so invite your friends to come. They're giving some stormy weather for tomorrow. And so let's be praying that anything dangerous or treacherous would just lift and dissipate in the name of Jesus. We just declare that right now, Lord. We pray that you'd stretch forth your hand, that there'd be no property or persons damaged as a result of any storms. In Jesus' name. And I know some of you may have wondered about our Bible study in the morning, and I, as always, I'll send a text out if there's a change, and if we're getting a big downpour, then I'll let you know. I want to ask you to do something tonight. I want you to just open your heart to receive what the Lord wants to do in this gathering tonight. We're all so excited about what is happening, and like Asbury College, and I'm assuming it's still, last I checked, still rolling. So we thank God for young people and others pouring into those alders up there. Yesterday at the ramp, they began at 7:30 in the morning for their time of prayer, and it was going to late last night, and then I think have started back today. Other places, we're hearing reports of just a stirring, a moving of God, and we had a wonderful service here Sunday, and I've heard other churches experience something different as well. And tonight, you should have gotten a text I sent out today, this service tonight is, we're wanting to have an impartation service. Pastor Doc, Miss June, I think Randy and Donna, and Pastor Jerry Hester went to Asbury last Friday and Saturday. And we want to receive from what they've received. You know, the Bible says that no man can receive anything except it be given from above. So I want to take just a few moments and talk to you briefly about the prayer of impartation, because we want to prepare our hearts for that. It's just true. It's been experienced in my life as well, some major shifts and changes in my life when I received the laying on of hands, when someone was carrying something that I knew I needed. You know, the Bible says that if you honor a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. You honor a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. And in the Bible, Paul wrote Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:6, he said, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now, we don't know how that gift of God manifested, particularly in Timothy. We do know he was set over churches in the Ephesus area, so he had leadership on him. He was anointed to lead. But Paul clearly tells him, you know, to stir that gift up. So it spoke of a moment in time when Paul laid his hands on Timothy and he knowingly received something that gifted him beyond what he carried before the prayer. And it made such an impact on him that Paul could write and remind him of that very occasion. And Paul knew Timothy would know about that moment when those hands were laid on him. And he received something from God. Paul called it the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. It's talking about beyond salvation, not greater than salvation. Nothing would be greater than that. But something beyond being saved. An equipping to live the Christian life. An anointing, an impartation he received through the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 1, verse 11, Paul at that time had never been to Rome. But he had a yearning in his heart to go. And he was warned all along the way that when he went to Jerusalem that something bad was going to happen, but Paul knew that ultimately he was going to end up in Rome. And in Romans 1:11, he writing to the believers in Rome, he says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established." That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Paul is saying here several things, but one of them is, when I get there, I'll be able to give you something that you can't receive till I get there. And there's going to be a mutual, both of our faith is going, the faith of both of us will be involved. But I've got something that I want to impart to you, a spiritual gift that you may be established. Now, this certainly can be activation of spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe it can be, if you'll allow me to use the terminology, a custom-ordered impartation that Father God knows that you need for where you are, what you're facing, and what you're gonna have to go through or are going through. Because He's just that way. Just like you try to equip your children and you deal with them differently. I just believe that God does that kind of stuff. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. The lame man was healed by the gate. And we've heard this often, but it's so true. Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you." Then it says, he stretched forth his hand and said, "Rise up and walk." And the man leaped to his feet. You're talking about 40 years and never stood up and walked on his legs. And God fixed that in a moment. So Peter was carrying something that in that moment he was led by the Holy Spirit to be able to release it to that man, and that man was healed and made whole. Luke 8, verse 46. You remember the woman with the issue of blood. She said, "If I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I'll be made whole." Well, she touched him. But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now we're getting a little bit more definition here, and that Jesus literally said he could feel the virtue or the power, the anointing, if you will, actually flowing through him when that woman by faith touched the hem of his garment. Her faith activated what he carried, and it was released into her. So it's important that we have a heart to receive, and it doesn't always mean that you're going to tangibly feel in your body what's happening. Now, I love it when that happens. I mean, I love that. It's just awesome. I've been, and many of you have, where the anointing's flowing, and you can actually be walking across the room, and when you step into it, you can feel it. I pray for people when I feel it here, and it comes up and goes out in my hand, when it hit them, you could tell they felt it. Now, I love it when it's tangible like that, but that doesn't have to happen for you to receive, because this operates by faith. It operates by faith. So it's important that you believe, I'm going to receive what I need tonight. Now, in Luke chapter 5, I love this passage of Scripture. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he," that is Jesus, "was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." I mean, people were coming out of the hills, coming out of the surrounding cities, and because the Lord's power, His healing power and presence was manifesting. To me, this is an example of a corporate anointing. When you get people coming together with faith and expecting, the river's going to rise. And that's just an example like what's happening in Asbury. People are coming from across the country. I read where somebody had traveled all the way from Oregon. That's quite a drive. But hunger and faith enable us to receive an impartation. And that's really true anytime someone's ministering, whether you're touched or not. But I wanted to share these scriptures because there is, do you know that in Hebrews chapter 6, it says one of the elementary teachings are doctrines of the early church. There's a list of six things, and one of them is the laying on of hands. And we, when I say we, collectively, it seems the church has relegated that primarily to when somebody's ordained or set apart in ministry. And that's a beautiful expression of the laying on of hands. But the laying on of hands far exceeds just those occasions. These signs shall follow those that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Paul said, you remember when I laid hands on you and you were imparted a spiritual gift. So tonight we're going to have an occasion, and I'm about to turn the microphone over to you, Pastor Doc, and Miss June, however you want to do this. But there'll come a time when we're going to be invited, and Jake, however y'all want to handle the music, okay? Be ready. And appreciate you leading tonight. But we want to have a time when we come, and the music will be playing, worship will be going, and we just come and receive. Come and receive. Believe and receive in Jesus' name. And I want to be right up there in front. Okay. Pastor Doc, you can come up here or here. I knew you mentioned earlier you may. Okay, that's fine.
Thank you, Pastor. My goodness. Aren't you glad to have a pastor like we have? I mean, come on. Give the Lord a God bless you. I'm telling you. Such an honor to have Pastor Ed and Mickey. And we're going to pray for him here in a few minutes. But June and I often talk among ourselves how God brought us here and that we would... This is where we would end, whatever that means. So anyway, but thank you for coming tonight. We want to just get into this. Take a minute to kind of tell you, kind of set this up if we could. Most of you would know 1970, a revival, the one prior to what's going on now, broke out in a little town called Wilmore at Asbury College. If you know anything about Wilmore, on one side of the street is the college. On the other side is the seminary. Well, in 1970, revival broke out, and it affected, we have historical facts. It affected at least 130-something universities or colleges. And so last Wednesday, they were having chapel, which was their normal thing to do, and it didn't stop. God decided to show up and begin to manifest himself at Asbury College, and so it's still going on. And so when we heard of this, we start getting news of it because that's part of my heritage, and Jen and I kept saying, we just got to go. And so we took off Friday, got back Saturday night, and stepped into that, and we will share a snippet of that with you tonight. But let me just say to you, it's breaking out. There's two other colleges now where revival is broken out. I heard, and I don't know this one for a fact, the other one I do. I've heard there's a prayer meeting going on at UNA tonight for revival. I mean, on campus. I don't know that for a fact. I did hear that today, but I do know tomorrow night in Wesley Foundation, there'll be a prayer meeting going on, and real mild-mannered fellow named James Nesbitt is going to be leading it. So Elijah's coming to town. But anyway, I do know God's stirring, and we don't want to get left out. So we got there, stepped into the revival Friday night about 8 o'clock. And so I'm going to let June say something. Come on, say whatever you want to say, baby, and then I'll pick up from there.
That could be dangerous, you know. So I'll just share with you my experience of there. When we walked in, it was completely crowded. It was a full house. There were a few chairs, a few seats in places, and I think it seats, I've read things of 15 to 100 to 2,000 people. But they were lining the walls. There were no places for a lot of them to sit. The balcony was full, and they were lining the walls on the balcony. And that was amazing to me to see, because 95% of them are young people, and probably maybe even a higher percentage than that. And I process things differently than Doc does, and I'm an observer, and which can be a real hindrance sometimes for God speaking to you. And so we went through the weekend, and I saw a lot of things, a lot of chatter going on. There were like big groups over here. They'd just be talking, and some other groups, they'd be gathered up, laying hands on one another, praying. But I never saw anything disruptive. It was ever, but it was just, it had no, there was nobody up leading anything, except the worship teams would flow on and off the stage, and there was no planned worship. It was just whatever they felt like singing, and it was, but always there was somebody, there were people standing with their hands in the air. There were people at the altar all the time, mostly young people. Every now and then they would break a little, and they'd have testimonies, and the young people or people would share some of their experiences. And then sometimes they would break, and they'd just say, for this season right now, we're going to just read some from the Word of God. And they'd have different people come up and share in their reading. And every time they finished, they would say, with such an authority in their voice, every one of them, from young to those that were on staff, this is the Word of God. It would just like send chills down you when they would say that. I felt such a sweetness and such a peace the whole time. It was just like a calmness. You know, even though I saw all these things that I don't normally associate with a service, because Doc and I have discussed this, and there was no service to it. It was just, I call it a gathering, he calls it a happening. So anyway, we were right there in the middle of it. But I didn't feel a lot of things that I realized everybody else around me was feeling. And so when we got home Sunday morning, I was just wrestling with, you know, Lord, just why didn't I experience some of those things? Or why weren't, you know? And the Lord I just started thinking about all the things I saw. And it was like God began to just give me a little interpretation of everything. You know, like he said, well, anytime, no matter if there was chatter, there were people sitting, there were people standing at the same time. I mean, somebody would stand up right in front of you, but it didn't aggravate you. It was just like, you know, it was okay. You could just stand there, or they might sit down. You might stand up in front of somebody. He said, did you ever see anything that was not honoring to me? Because when a word would be given or a scripture read that anything to do with what Jesus is to us, what he has done for us and how wonderful he is, the praise would just begin to rise and people would begin to, you know, raise their hands and with thanksgiving and with such a honoring to the Lord. There was never anything that I saw that was out of place there. And I've just processed through the whole thing. So I think I've enjoyed more. I told Sandra I probably enjoyed more of the revival since I got home than I did while I was there, just because of how the Lord's let me see the things that I saw with my eyes, you know, that was in some ways a distraction for me at the moment. But God's, and what you said tonight was good, Pastor. I appreciate that. Speaking about how we receive, that you don't have to feel anything to receive, and that's so true. I just want to say that God is good, and he is a faithful God.
When we got there, stepping into 1,500 people in the presence of God, and the peace, and you got people The altars are packed four or five. There are always people in the altar, always. And it's so different. I can tell you, I had to make some adjustments because when I got there, it's hard to explain. There was just a chatter. You look over there and there's a group praying over here. And then you look, and then some are just stand talking to one another. And we're worshiping and the altar's filled and all of this. It wasn't disorderly. It was just chattery. And I was thinking, Lord, why don't you stop this? Because I was real, I'm real church oriented. So I would think, why don't you be quiet? So I had a problem. And I knew it was me. So I began to pray. I said, Lord, I don't know why it's so chattery and, just a little low frequency all over the church. And I said, Lord, I don't know what the deal is. And the Lord spoke a word to my heart. He said, son, this is not a church service. It's a happening. Because it started happening on Wednesday and it's still happening. And nobody's in charge. You understand? There's nobody directing you see a guy on the piano. He may play 2 or 3 hours, and then somebody will come and just scoot him over and pick right up where he left off, and it just goes on and on and on. And so that was our introduction to Friday night. And as Jim said, it was just they were lining the walls downstairs, upstairs, and as of today, the word I got was, there were as many people outside trying to get in as had gotten in. And they're spilling over into the couple of auditoriums over at the seminary. And it just continues to go. People are coming from everywhere because they're hungry. Because the Lord is moving and they're hungry. They're tired of dead religion and they're looking for life. Now let me tell you, go ahead and give the Lord a God bless you. So the majority of these kids are not looking for church. They're not looking for religion. They're looking for Jesus. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for Jesus. Now, I'm not anti-church, as you would know. They're looking for Jesus. And they're experiencing Him. And some are being healed. There's supernatural healings going on. I'll tell you, the power of this thing is overwhelming. One particular brother, and I think he posted this, one particular brother was there and was going to get him a bite to eat, and it was in the daytime, and it was one of those windy days like we had here. And he walks out of from the auditorium there, Hughes Auditorium. He walks out and has to walk around the building, and he noticed something that caught his attention. The wind was blowing out of the north, south, east, and west, all in the same direction into the auditorium he just left, which is pretty much of what happened in Acts 2. So that's the kind of thing that was going on. And once I made my adjustments, I could fit in and just enjoy and behold what God was doing. And we left around 11 o'clock that night to go get a little rest, came back in the morning. In the morning, there was not near as many people there for a while. When we first got there, I would say 100, maybe 2 at best. Well, when I walked in, I got closer to the front, and I sat down, and that's when I encountered the presence of the Lord. I'm just sitting there. I'm not doing anything, but I knew I had stepped into a manifestation of what this was all about. And while I'm there, and you know the amazing thing is, you look around at people and they're just weeping, and you wonder what, they don't know why they're weeping. They're just in God's presence, and that's all that's going on. They're just weeping, not out of sadness. It's just an expression. So I was weeping. I couldn't stop it. While I was there, the Lord again began to deal with my heart and said, son, what's going to bring the something? So if we stay vertical, how many of you know if we stay vertical, he'll bring the what, because the whom carries that. And so that wrecked me. because I knew the many hundreds of times I'd cried out for a revival. Nothing wrong with that. But this revival is vertical. Everything we saw is about Jesus. Don't you love the way Pastor keeps us focused on Jesus? This whole revival, they sing about Jesus. They talk about Jesus. They say this is not about Asbury College. This is about Jesus, what he's done and who he is. And everything is vertical. And so it's happening. And it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And so we left, and Lord willing, I'm going back. People are calling and asking me, how do you do this? How do you get this? They're coming from everywhere. But tonight, what's happening in Asbury, why wouldn't God want to do it at Grace House? We don't have an Asbury God and a Grace House God. We got one God. If we stay vertical, and there's one word that, to me, identifies what's happening at Asbury. One thing is on the minds of those people, for the most part. And here's the word. More. That's it. It's just about more. The Lord reminded me a few years ago when the Toronto revival broke out, and we chartered a bus and took a whole busload up to Toronto for that revival. And I stepped into that thing and got prayed for. You know what they prayed for me? More. That's all they said. More. I believe this is a word from God. I believe if we step into our more, probably the first thing, God will remind you of some things you need to straighten out with him. Like, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, please forgive me for usually some Holy Ghost conviction of things I may need to repent of. Because when you take that step, you step into that, what we sang about tonight about Isaiah, that coal off the altar. And then what starts to happen, the manifestation of who he is begins to manifest in you. And it's more than a feeling. That revival up there, you ever seen birds out in the open, like probably 400 or 500 of them, and they're going like this? I mean, they go up and they go down all together. Nobody's orchestrating it. Somehow they're just a flock of birds. That's how that revival is. It goes like this. The worship will go real high, and then it'll go back down, then it'll go real high again. People are still getting right with God, getting healed, getting delivered. All of this is orchestrated by the Lord himself. And I'm praying it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm praying what's happening at Asbury, first of all, will begin to happen at UNA. Why not? I'm praying that the churches in our region will begin to experience. Here's what's in my heart. I think churches are going to meet, some of them are those that are hungry for God, those that will step into more. Lord, I want more. I think what's going to happen, I think I have a word on this. I think what's going to happen is they're going to start to say the benediction on Sunday. But they can't because things are still happening. 12:30 came and it's still happening. 1 o'clock came and it's still happening. What's going on? I don't know. All I know is it seems like God's blowing his breath here. Don't you want to see that? That 2 o'clock came and 3 o'clock came and folks says, what's going on down at that church? We don't know, but we heard God was there. And I am praying for the revival at Asbury becomes a revival in our region, including our university. That the Spirit of God tonight will impart to our hearts the fire that's burning at Asbury College. All you have to do tonight is by faith, take a step. Lord, I want more. Take it. How many of you know you can settle where you are? I want more. When you take that step, God will take the next one. But it's all about hunger. And these kids are just hungry. I mean, there's these kids up in the, I mean, you look at them and go, I mean, how could God be touching him? He's just talking to three people and he goes down there and gets healed. Because God's orchestrating something that's not religious, but it is God doing what God does. So, and we have a lot of people. We have people in this church that are on their way or getting ready to go there. And it'll be interesting, their reports when they return. So let me just ask you, and we're going to pray and just, let me ask you, how many of you want more? I mean, come on. In your heart, there is a desire for more. Well, listen to me. You didn't think of that. That's God. And when you step into that, and that's what we're going to do tonight. So, let's do it. Let's have a moment and a time, and then no hurry. And I know why. I know. But I'm going to tell you, let's stay this way. You don't step into just a desire for revival. You step in, I want more of Him. It's about Him. The other will come. The what will come? Him. And I'm going to ask Jake, where's Jake? He's somewhere. There you are, Jake. Would you come back up here and just start all over again? Would you guys just come on up? Act like we're just started? And I don't mean you're going to do the whole thing, but just do whatever you want to do. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for Pastor Eddie and Mickey. And I want to do it the way that the Lord just impressed my heart to do it. Let me move this. Someone ask Pastor Eddie Mickey just come stand right here. And I want the rest of you. Here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to touch him. I just want you to come. I just want you to come and get around him. Every one of you. Everybody, just come. And don't touch him yet. Just make a circle any way you can. Thank you, Lord. Just get in as close as you can and be part of it. Lifting your hands, pray. Ask God to impart to Pastor Eddie and Mickey what He wants. They both carry an incredible anointing. We know that. This is not about what they carry now. This is what God's about to give them beyond what they carry. Let's begin to pray. All over the building, everybody begin to pray. Lord, we'll make some decrees that Pastor Ed and Mickey will carry the same Holy Ghost anointing that you poured out at Asbury, that they will walk points. Mickey, in the name of Jesus, may there be a divine impartation tonight of the fire that's burning in Kentucky. Let it burn at Grace House tonight. Oh, new pastor, may the fires of Pentecost, what God's doing there, come and do it in you to a new level, to a new anointing. That tonight will be a new journey. Tonight will be a new day to the glory of God and in the name of Jesus. Come on now, let's thank the Lord for this impartation. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on now. Just everybody thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for what God is doing for Pastor Eddie and Mickey. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I decree, I declare that they will walk in that new level of revival as it is being poured out in Asbury, Kentucky, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Wow. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Jake. Thank you, Lord God. We're not finished. We're just getting started. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Lord, you bless me.
This first circle here. June can do that over here. And then I'm going to pray one word. I'm going to ask God to give you more. I want you to receive it. Then I want you to turn around and pray for the person behind you. And then that one behind that one. And then behind that one. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep going till we all get hands laid on us. Then I want you to find somebody that will agree with you. If one can put 1,000, two can put 10. I want you to find, if my brother here, I want more, we'll find somebody to agree with you. Come on now. If two shall agree as touching, you're going to add a whole new dimension if you get somebody to agree with you. I pray in the name of Jesus for more and more. There and more. I pray for more. I pray, Gary, for more. Pray for more in Jesus' name. For more, doing more. More in Jesus' name.
Right.
Now you turn around and begin to pray. Come on now. Turn around and let God begin to use you. Let God begin to use you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, 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 yes.